Billy Graham told the story one day of being in a meeting in a land outside the United States, and he wanted to mail a letter, but he didn't know where the post office was. So he asked a little boy there, he said, can you tell me where the post office is? And he said, yes, I can. He says, well, if you'll tell me where the post office is, he said, I want to invite you to a meeting tonight. And he said, I will show you the way to have eternal life, the way to get to eternal life. Do you think you can come? And the little boy said, no. He said, I don't think so. He said, you can't even find the post office. Nancy read earlier about God providing direction with a pillar of smoke and a cloud by day. There's three verses in John I want to read, John 16:12-15. John says, I still have much to say to you, Jesus was actually saying this through John, but you are not able to bear it. But when the one would come, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you in all truth. For he will not speak of himself, but whatever he will hear, he will speak and report the things that are coming. That one will glorify me because he will take from me and he will teach you. Whatever things the Father has are mine because of this. I said that he takes that from me and he will teach you. Just like these signs up here, God provides direction. And God will lead us in any path that we need to go. There's a lot of stories in the Old Testament about God providing direction. Exodus 13 talks about that pillar of smoke and the cloud that Nancy was sharing with us. Judges chapter 20, verses 23, talks about the direction that he gave them to fight the Benjamites. 1 Samuel 23:1-2 talks about where David is directed by God to fight the Philistines. Sound like they're fighting everybody all the time. And they pretty much were. Then Psalm 37:23 talks about the Lord guides the steps of the godly. And there's a lot of verses in the New Testament also, but there's also a couple verses and a couple times in the Old Testament that God didn't honor that prayer. He says in 1 Samuel 14:37, he says, Saul asked the counsel of God, shall I go down after the Philistines? Will you hand them over to Israel? But he did not answer him that day. And then 1 Samuel 28:5-7, he says, when Saul saw the Philistine army, he was afraid and badly shaken. So Saul inquired of the Lord, but the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams or by Urim, or by prophet. Then Paul said to his servants, find for me a woman who is a medium. Between the living and the dead, so that I may go to her and ask her advice. His servant said to him, there is a woman who is a medium at Endor. What the Bible says was that God regretted ever placing Saul in leadership. In fact, he says, I regret that I made Saul king, for he has turned away from my following and has not carried out my command. The words of Samuel. There was a reason that God didn't answer Saul's prayer. And it's found in 1 Chronicles 10:13-14. The Bible says there that Saul died in his treachery that he had committed against God and against the Word of God. So along with faith, there are a couple other things that we really need when we're seeking direction. And so the first thing is, how do we discover direction for our life? Ever feel you're going around in circles, or ever feel like you're following this curved line and you're trying to get it to straighten out, but it just doesn't seem to happen? We're trying to find the path, but oftentimes we get frustrated and upset over the direction. There was a guy in the Old Testament who envisioned, if you will, his life. He was childless. He was looking for a wonderful retirement place. Nothing had happened in his life that he had sought after, and that was Abraham. Abraham actually ended up giving Lot the better part of the land, and he took the other part. The Bible said when Abraham sought God's direction, he gave it. He said, "Leave your country, leave your people, leave your father's household, and I will make you a great nation." So when we ask for direction, God will give us direction. Two weeks ago Thursday, we were in our service, and Linda was sharing with us about her trip to Nicaragua. And so when I asked Linda, I said, "You know, we're going to do this series on direction. Would you mind sharing a little bit about that?" So she's going to do that today. If she'll come up here, and I don't know, just grab a microphone over here, probably work, or one anywhere. But I just had some questions that went through my mind, and so I thought, you know, I'm just going to ask Linda this, and maybe, you know, she'll be able to, you know, to tell us how that affected her life and how God really directed her to do it. So the first question, when we talk about direction, tell us how God directed you to begin this desire to go to Nicaragua.
Well, first, I had to say, I would never go to Nicaragua if I didn't have a family to go with me, all you guys, and my two sisters. If I had my two sisters, I would never get to go. Because they helped me go. They don't go, but they helped me get there every year. And I always appreciate it. Okay. It was a lady here about 3 years ago, who her name was Tabby. And she went the year before I went. But that year, I went with her, go to the store and pack her clothes. Not her clothes, clothes she was going to give away to people in Nicaragua. And on the way home, I says, "I'd like to go someday." But I forgot it, didn't think about it anymore. Till one day she called me up and says, "Linda, would you like to go?" And I didn't say anything for a week, because I had to think about it. So me and Debbie fought about a long time for that week. And then on Saturday afternoon, we came here, and we went in the crossroom. If I have to pray, that way I always like to go to the crossroom to pray. So we went in there, we prayed for a while, and then I got real excited. No, not excited. Quiet. And then end of it, I said, "I am going to go." Now, for me to go, it was something I had never done before. It wasn't in my thinking. Will I go? Yes. Was I scared? I was scared to death. But I couldn't tell Debbie or Sandy how I felt. They felt the same way I did, but opposite. I was afraid to go. They were afraid me to go. But we never say it. The whole year I was working on it because I know if I say it, I won't go. So I kept that to myself. And the day went. I got up in the morning and got on the airplane. And I came back, and I want to go again, and I go every year.
And you're going to go again?
Yes.
What do you think were the two things, if you could maybe say one or two things that was that you've gotten out of following God's direction?
When you go to Nicaragua, you see a lot of stuff you don't see here. And when you come back here, you look at what they don't have, but what you have. And you have to remember, they don't have a whole bunch of stuff. One thing they have to do when they go to Sot, before they leave the Sot, they have to take sales out of the room. They don't have a room. It's just a place they go. They have to take the sales out and lock it up, because if they don't do that, next Sunday, they won't have the sales. Because they don't have locked doors. They don't have doors. They have a door, but never lock. So they have to be really careful what they do. And that's what I bring back every year. But I have what they don't have.
How would you encourage someone to seek God's direction? What would you tell them?
Take a little piece of your mind and go on that little area and think about what you want to do. And then ask Jesus for direction. And if you do that, that will happen. Because it happens every year. Yes. And last year was the hardest year I went through, but I had fun. I had a good time.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Appreciate you sharing that with us.
Okay, I want to tell you one little story. I always say
that. That wasn't the question. No.
I know. But it's going to be quick.
Okay.
Every year when we go to Nicaragua, we all have a theme. And the theme was this year was on grace. And then my job in Nicaragua was pick up the bricks, put in the water, and kick out. And everything I did was I was same bricks. And every year I do a devotion I do every year. And so I know what I was going to say at. And one night, in my sleep, I said, bricks came to mind. So we have a whole pile of bricks here. You kick a brick up, and you kick that brick, and says, I'm going to do it. And while I'm saying this, for 19 years, on Saturday, they want to, we go out, and they go on a zip line. And I will sit in the bus and wait for them to come back, because I can do it. And every time I wanted to do it, I couldn't. But this year, I got to do it. I went up there with everything on, and I tear with scale. And how they got to do that, they say, remember the brick you were talking about. So I did the zip line with faith.
All right. Thank you. Linda shared that a couple Thursday nights ago, and it was like, that's the perfect story of how does God provide direction in our life. But he'll also provide direction in our relationship. And the question, a couple thoughts went through my mind. One question was, wouldn't it be great if we knew really early on what relationships were good in our lives? Who we should marry forever? I didn't know that. I didn't seek guidance on that. How many people hang on to friendships because it's convenient? How many people hang on to relationships because it's convenient? Because it just seems like the thing to do, and I think sometimes God directs us to this other side. Stop the madness. Stop the running around and stop trying to run around in circles to find out really what relationship we should be in. There's a great story in the Old Testament about Jonathan and David. Jonathan was Saul's son, next in command, really, to become the next king of Israel after Saul died, but in essence, Saul was killed. It was Jonathan's turn. But Jonathan knew all along he was not going to be king. And yet, he knew David was going to be king, but he protected David from his father Saul. And you talk about relationships and what those mean, and what that has is something that I'm certainly sure that Jonathan looked for direction from God. Because that's not anything that most people would do, because you would aspire to be the king. But God provides direction on relationships. God provides direction in our finances. And I was looking this week, and it's amazing. I got a page and a half statistics that I'm not going to share with you. I know. Amen. But I want to share a couple with you. As of 2016, we have generated $18.3 trillion of debt, up from $7.3 trillion in 2004. The average credit card debt per household is $6,600. But if you only count the credit card, the households that have credit cards, it's $16,000. And that's not counting mortgages or anything like that. The average credit card interest in November 2011 was 12.36%. And some of them now I know are even higher. Total consumer debt per household now averages $16,046. Total debt per household with credit cards averages $54,000. Nearly one in five Americans ages 18 to 24 qualify themselves as being in debt hardship. And I talked to a lot of people about different things, and the one thing that I've come to learn and come to understand is people are very generous, not only with themselves, but with others. And I would be willing to say that 100% of the people that I talk to would love to give more money to the church. And this is not a stewardship message, and I'm not asking for money. But the majority of people I talk to would love to do that. But they're caught up in some of that $16,000 in debt, or they're caught up in some of that type of bondage that they can't get out of. And so God gives us direction on how to get out of debt and how to recover financially may be a good way to do it. There's some verses that I'm not going to read them. I'm just going to give you the reference here. But the first one is 2 Chronicles 14:7. They'll also be on the website if you want to go back and listen. 2 Chronicles 31:20 through 21, or 1 Chronicles 4:9. But it talks about how to get out of debt. So we've got direction, we've got debt, we've got relationships. But what about our health? Can God provide direction for our health? And I believe He can. When Jesus was on the earth, He set out to touch people and to heal people, and He did that. But if you look in the Old Testament, and the reference is 2 Kings chapter 5, there's a guy by the name of Nahum, and he had leprosy. And God had directed him through a prophet to go dip himself 7 times in the nastiest, filthiest, dirtiest, most polluted river that there was. And guess what he wanted to do? He wanted to take the easy way out and go dip himself in what was the cleanest water available. But that wasn't God's plan, and that wasn't the direction that God gave Nahum. So he resisted, and finally went and did it, and finally went and dipped himself, and his leprosy was healed. If God can heal leprosy, folks, he can heal anything. I don't care what it is. And we're going to put God to the test. You'll see out on the monitor out in front the message series for today and through November. And it's going to be on prayers that God answers. And November 20th is the message entitled, "Can I be healed of anything troubling me? Can I be?" And so that Thursday night before that, we're going to have a healing service here in lieu of what we normally have been doing on Thursday night. And I would encourage you, if you know someone that needs to be healed, to come. Because we believe that God does those things, and we've seen it happen. And so I guess if I had to be a challenge, I would challenge you to do that. God also heals our family. Did you ever want God's discernment about how to deal with things with our families? And I know when I had that teenage son, I needed God's discernment and everybody else's wisdom, because he was a challenge. He had a mind of his own, and that's okay, but he didn't have my mind. And so sometimes those things would butt head. And it was a difficult time in his life and a difficult time in my life. So, and one of the things that I look back and I think about that I really wish he would have known is, what did I want for his life? Not from a selfish standpoint, because we all want the best for our children. But what's best for our children is not always what they want. And I talked to somebody Saturday night. He's having difficulty with his 20-year-old son. It's amazing where you find people to talk to. But we're sitting around a campfire, and he says, "Can I talk to you?" Sure. We're going to be talking anyway. Let's talk about something important. He says, "My son," he said, "he smokes." And I said, "Okay, I mean, you know, it's not the end of the world. But I've told him I don't want him smoking in my house. And he does it. What do I do?" I said, "Okay, what have you done?" And he said, "Well, I've told him I didn't want him to do it." And I said, "Well, that's the first thing." And I'm a big believer in two strikes, you're out. You don't get three strikes. Now, some people disagree with that. And by the way, at 10:30, it was 7-7. Bengals and Redskins. I figured you'd want to know, but that's the last score I know. Somebody's probably got a more updated score in here.
Somebody might not want to.
But we were sitting there talking, and he said, "Well, what's the second step?" And it's done. You pack your stuff up, and you find somewhere to live. And he said, "That's pretty hard." I said, "No, it's pretty tough." He said, and I said, well, how many times have you told him this? And he said, repeatedly. Okay, that's your first mistake. Because he doesn't believe you. Something I'm kind of passionate about. Relationships, family, I think is so important. How do we find that? How do we find what God wants us to do with our families? Well, there's another story in the Old Testament, and I would love to sit down across the table from Gideon and talk to Gideon. Because several times God told Gideon, in fact, an angel came to Gideon one night and said, "Oh, mighty man of valor, oh, mighty warrior, get up and go take this nation." And he was getting ready to do battle with the Midianites and the Amalekites, and I think those were the only two kites he was working with at this time, or again. But he didn't know for sure, so he lays a fleece outside, and you know, and he says to God, he said, "If it's dry in the morning and the ground is wet, then I'll go." He gets up in the morning, and guess what? Just exactly like he asked. But wait a minute, I'm still not sure. Are you sure, God, that it was dry? So you can use the term test or tempt. I'll use the term test. He tested God again, and he laid it out there, and he said, "Okay, God, if the ground's dry and the fleece is wet, then I believe you." So he got up, and he literally wrung water out of the fleece the next morning. But he still wasn't sure. But he was prepared for battle, but God come to him. He had 333,000 troops, I think that's what the number was. Pretty good size army. And God said, "You got too many." He said, "Take 300 and do battle." And so he still wasn't sure. So after several times, God tells him, he says, "You go into the camp of the Midianites." And as he goes into the camp of the Midianites, he hears them talking, and some man is telling the story about he saw this round loaf of bread rolling into the camp, and it came with such force that it knocked down the tent and destroyed the tent. So guess what Gideon did? He finally believed God. Now, it took a while, but he finally believed God. So I guess the question comes to mind is, and the question, some questions I have is, do we ever sometimes feel out of control? And what do we do and where do we go next without putting our hands around somebody's neck and squeezing life out of them? We're looking for solid ground. How do we find it? What prayers do we need answered? What direction do we need? And I know it sounds simple, but the answer is prayer. As Linda said, and I couldn't have said it any better, if you need to pray, go to the crossroom. Find your crossroom and pray about it. The thing about it, if we are sincere and we are genuine in what our prayers are and what our needs are, God will provide us direction. Someone said to me earlier, said, "What's the stop sign for?" And I said, "That's for every woman in the church. And you can take it from there." But God will guide us and God will direct us. He'll direct our relationships. He'll direct the course of our life. He'll direct our finances. But it takes faith, sincerity, and prayer. And those are the three things that it takes. And when we get so desperate, we get really sincere. God bless.